Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Welcome, everybody, to the mid-year 2025 Florida Gator panel. It is your host, Dan Thompson, joined today by four illustrious guests.
High Top Sports Boys in the house, Sheldon.
David Waters, get his breakdown.
Corey Knowles, Stadium Miguel.
High Top Sports, Dave Spolderquist.
And we're late because of Nick Del Toro. Back to you, Dan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Always like because of Nick. I think you got we got this one.
Nick hops on a private plane one time, and all of a sudden,
I was going to say it if you didn't. I was like, we get one clip of a private jet, and he's all of a sudden, guys, I can't make the panel. You guys don't hold.
Hanging out with Joe Kim Noah. Sorry, guys, I'm working late. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
He had the most egregious lies from the first panel, so I would duck too, man. perfect time for a private flight, man.
Poor guy. Right.
Well, we obviously have a very special show today. We're excited to get the Gator panel back together. Probably a little bit different than the preseason Gator panel, but we're really looking forward to tonight. But before we get started, this event is sponsored by our friends and my personal friend over at FanGo Tickets, which is a ticket marketplace built right here in Tampa Bay by a Florida Gator graduate, built for Gator fans by a Gator fan. FanGo is going to keep it simple, low fees, guaranteed tickets, and everything is focused around Tampa Bay sporting events and Florida Gator sporting events and nothing else. So if you're in Tampa or a part of the Gator Nation, check them out, FanGoTickets.com, which is your home for Gators tickets the local way. All right, guys. So big news obviously happened on Sunday. The Gators fired Billy Napier. And since then, Gator Twitter has been having Ole Miss fans delete accounts, delete tweets. They're creating their own hot boards. You guys have done the work. But let's get everybody's thoughts on the Billy Napier firing. I'm sure everybody's thoughts are similar. But Sheldon, we'll start with you.
Yeah, Twitter has been a blast. I know we were asking about Napier, but I'm going to Napier this for one last time and avoid the question. Yeah, it's been great thus far. But yeah, I mean, look, I think it was a somber moment. I mean, we had fun with it when it happened. But I do feel that, again, just because of the respect from the players, that there was it felt a little heavy, but needed. It was needed to be done. And there seems to be a what's that? No, I haven't talked to Kirk. Everyone loves to give me crap for that. Look, Kirk was a fan of the show. We love Kirk. I mean,
Kirk was cool. I have no problem with Kirk, man.
Kirk, great guy.
He's got a milk carton these days. I hope he comes back.
I got nothing but love for Kirk. So, I mean, I'd love to chit chat with him. He gets it. We talked to him at the spring game, and I was like, look, man, I gave your brother crap last year when he struggled. He's like, yeah, man, I would too. So he understands the game, and I'm sure they're doing all right. Wish him nothing but the best, but it does feel like a weight has been lifted. I'm excited for the new era of Florida football, whatever it intends to be with Lane Trains and Whistle Horns.
Dave.
Brom.
Water. Yeah, you know, just kind of we all sat here together and had so much hype for this season. And it went away so fast after that loss to USF. And it was that moment we all just kind of knew that, okay, well, with all the equity, which wasn't much, that Billy Napier had built up going into this season, was erased right there. And it, you know, through two games of the season, it was just kind of riding on the wall, and we were just biding our time for the moment. So, once the excitement of the season kind of went away with that, it was just like, all right, let's go ahead and just turn the page. While we knew there were other games to be played, I think we all knew this was headed in the direction that it ultimately ended up in on Sunday. So, we'll move forward, but I'm just excited to see something new when this team hits the field against Georgia, and we don't have to, you know, see the offense out there again in the form that it was. We at least get to see something different now. So that's what I'm looking forward to right now. But, you know, it's a shame it didn't work. I think we all wanted it to work in some form or fashion, but here we are.
Corey, same question. Yeah.
I mean, echo a lot of what both of those guys said. We wanted it to work out. I like the way Billy was building the program from just a culture standpoint. I thought the locker room, the character of guys that he was bringing in, he had everything going right, but one thing, and that was the play calling. And it was very loud within the fan base, the media, just national media, not just Gator media, that, you know, was criticizing Billy's play calling. No change was made, you know. Of course, the end of the season, we all kind of anticipating a possible firing last year. We had coaching boards going up, and, you know, some people expected, and they went on the run. A lot of accountability from our standpoint as far as the media. We did a good job of just setting the stage of this team has the talent to go make a run. I think we all did a good job of that, even on the panel, of just setting the stage of there's no more excuses. So, like Dave said, that USF game goes down, and it's just down here from there. I mean, the LIU game was a little weird, right? You know, right from the go, it was like, all right, we're going to give you a first week. You know, y'all rusty, DJ haven't played. And then it all played out. But it was time. I'm glad they did it right before a bye week. We do have some advantages this year. We would have fired them last year. We'd probably lost some guys. Now they have to sit, wait for the new coach. The rules have changed a little bit, so it's good times, man. I love a good coaching hire, man. I'm getting used to it now.
Yeah, well, high top, Dave.
Well, now that Billy Napier's on the beach chilling and drinking a margarita or something, watching, probably not watching this, but I mean, yeah.
You never know.
He was checking Twitter on Sunday, so you never know.
Yeah, I mean, you go into the season with a lot of hope, especially Billy Napier's first year, you know, ditching Dan Mullen. You knew you had a better recruiter, a better guy that could create these relationships with these kids, and the recruiting was on the uptick. So you had a little bit of hope of like, hey, you look, if Billy Napier gets his guys in, once these guys are in year three, year four, this thing's going to start rolling. Years one and two, kind of hard to go through there. You get into year three and, you know, you're sitting there saying, okay, well, maybe this guy's going to get fired anyway. And maybe this guy isn't the guy for Florida Gator Nation. And then all of a sudden he pulls off a win streak and goes 8-5. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, cool. Now we got some steam with DJ Lagway. And maybe this was the guy that Billy Napier just needed in his system, a quarterback that he recruited. You head into this season, you have that loss to USF, and then the wheels just fall off once again, very Billy Napier-esque. It sucked a little bit because, I mean, you did have some hope towards the end of last year, but ultimately you kind of just saw the writing on the wall. And it was very weird going into that last game that Billy Napier had against Mississippi State, because I was in the crowd and it was a course of booze and fire Billy the last minute of the game. And then there was like a cheering section when the ball got intercepted and we wound up winning the game. And then you heard a course of booze when he was going back through the tunnel. So it was a really weird kind of concept to get used to, I guess, being that last game of the season. But, you know, you go home that night, you start hearing the rumblings and all that stuff, and you kind of just saw the writing on the wall. But shout out to him, man. I mean, I hope the best for him, and Kurt, man. Kurt's been such a good buddy to us and a good buddy to High Top. And, you know, just wished it would have worked out, but it didn't.
You ready to chat, Stan?
Yeah, go ahead. Buddy's breaking news was a masterpiece in dog shit. Have it on my pad here. We're going to talk a little bit about Buddy Martin and his report.
Giving Buddy a hard time, man. Come on,
that's
Buddy.
Not me. I'm just pulling the super chat. Man. I'm Team Buddy, man. I'm just pulling the super chat. I got nothing against Buddy.
No respect for the OGs, man. They're losing respect for the OGs, man.
He just put out there what was going to be out there before anybody else. All right,
Corey. It's just perfect timing. The first thing we did, Buddy was hosting his own show where we were all called couch tweeters.
Oh, yes. That's true. That is true. That
full is circle true. Or not. Full circle.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't see Buddy. I was surprised that Billy Napier got fired.
I don't think I was on the beat that time. I remember sending you the video, though.
Yeah, I think you're the one who got it out there. Well, yeah.
Now Buddy know that we the heartbeat a little bit.
Dave Waters, I want to ask you a question. Do you feel like Billy Napier set himself up for failure this year, going into SEC media days, knowing that DJ Lagway had not practiced all season, that maybe the team wasn't as good as he thought on paper, and told the media, told the fans, hey, we're going to spot the ball this year. And obviously at no point during this season did they look like they are ready to spot the ball, except for maybe the first 20 minutes of Texas. Do you feel like setting it up for such a high expectation amongst the fan base was ultimately why it happened so quickly?
I think he genuinely thought there might be enough around DJ to make up for it. With the offensive line returning, we know what's at running back, at receiver, returning a good defense, which, you know, has kind of lived up to its billing this year. So I do think, and in probably some ways, I thought the same thing. If Lagway was going to get off to a slow start, there's enough help around him where this team would be okay, at least to be USF week two, before we start having to ask the questions there. So, and then maybe – probably did misjudge the calculation on Lagway of how far he was behind and maybe how long it would take him to get back up to speed. So no, in a way, I think he genuinely thought that this team was ready to go spot the ball and go play with anybody, even with the limitation of DJ Lagway. I think that's my opinion of it. I think he really did think it.
What is going on?
Thanks, Josh.
I'm just pulling drinks, comments.
Bro. I appreciate that. It's a great comment. I mean, it's creative. It's thoughtful. appreciate that.
I'm talking. I missed it all. I'm name.
Yeah, the chat has me in tears, bro.
The chat's going wild today.
They're fired right now.
Hey, make sure you hit the like button.
Yes.
Make sure you do that. Make sure you do that. Shelton, same question.
All the platforms out there, by the way,
it's on every single one.
Okay, yeah, good. we're everywhere on the internet. We're gonna break it again. It's 1900 strong in here.
I feel like it's got to be more than that, just based on the chat here. All right, Shelton, want to ask you kind of the same question? Do you feel like Billy Napier got let go so quickly because the expectations were so high this season because of the way that he talked to the media and fan base?
That's a weird way to say it. I wouldn't say he got let go quickly. I feel like it could have been done faster, honestly. I feel like it was dragged out an extent. I don't feel it's year four. And I don't know if he necessarily how he spoke, but it definitely probably didn't help with spot the ball. I think that just the product on the football field was the biggest factor. That Mississippi State game was just perfectly done. We win the football game, and it was just, you didn't feel like it after the fact. And that's kind of how the last four seasons had felt, right? Like, you got to the end, you limped toward the end, like, whoo, we made it, but we got some work to do. And it was like, how many times are we going to relive this movie over and over and over again? And it was kind of the perfect close to a chapter. At least he kicked off his career. I mean, think about it. The way he started off is the way that it ended. It started with an interception by Weekend at Bernie's, and it ended with an interception from the defensive lineman. And both games, he tried to give away. So it was poetic, if you will.
To extend that, and I'll let these guys, I want to do that, but think, guys, and Dan, maybe you jump in too. Think about the way it started. Man, we were all excited after that Utah win. No matter what, we were back. I mean, it was a heck of a win for a coach making his debut at Florida. We were like, all right, here we go. We're good. Anthony's going to win the Heisman. We're all that.
Yeah, that 2-point conversion and everything.
So I was watching that game in New Orleans with Florida State fans, because we was out there for the LSU Florida State game. Mm. So I'm at a bar with full of Florida State fans. AR does the little spin around, throws in the end zone. I'm cursing everybody out in the restaurant. I'm going crazy. I just know, like, we about to go on a natty run, man. Like, we back.
It was the first true year for High Top, and I remember I went live after the fact. I was on a drunken rage, and it just felt amazing watching Gator football for the first time in a long time. It was like the high hit at a perfect time, and then obviously we went through hell for the rest of the 4 years. But I mean, that I will remember that game forever. I actually saw a highlight on TikTok, and I was getting emotional. I was like, man, what a game! I flashed back. I was like, I made up the ETN, Trevor ETN, Eaton was his French name. Like, I was on another level after that game.
Yeah, I was with Ben Chase. We were sitting up there at the top, and that place erupted after that interception. And it was loud up at the top. I could imagine what it was like at the bottom of the stadium.
Yeah. Now I remember that game. Not to one up you guys, I was in Hawaii
There you go.
And it was a night game. So I actually had an entire day to celebrate, right? I think the game was over at like 4 o'clock. So we went out, we partied, we got drunk with the locals. It was fantastic. I missed the first half. And I was so pumped to come back because that's when they came back and all of a sudden you see the 2-point conversion. You're like, dude, we're going to the national championship this season. And then they played Kentucky and then everything just kind of went downhill from there. And then you saw season after season after season after season. The offense got worse. One kind of final thing on Billy Napier, I'm sure his name will come up. What's the fairest grade you're going to give the Napier era in the talent acquisition, player development, game management, kind of all encompassing? What's like the fairest grade you can give?
I'll give him a D.
I'll say C plus.
I was in the C range. I feel like for what I'm again, I think he did a great job of putting together and having the guys believe what it means to be a Florida Gator. Again, I think we got away from that where a lot of players weren't playing for the logo anymore. And Mullen, I think, did not help with that. They kind of took for granted what it meant to be a Florida Gator. I think Nate did a good job of that. And look, stuff
the couple. C is average. Like,
A C minus, you know, just below. below.
22 and 23.
I guess it depends C on plus. How you like right look there, at it. Yeah. Like, if you like, go like
that's an F.
The Gator average, man, like the standard, right? I think he got a D according to like how football is in the absolute.
He's fair.
I mean, okay. All of UF coaches, he's probably got an F.
There you go. Gator scale, other coaches, it is. I mean, what is the record? Like, it's a worst
coach of all time, I think.
42 in the modern era.
Since World War II, they shipped half the team off to storm Normandy.
So I looked at Sports Reference. If you take out the interim coaches, he was ranked 20th out of 24.
Who's 24th?
So maybe an F. Maybe C minus, a little high.
It's probably some 22-year-old fresh out of college, also coaching the basketball team and the swim team at the same time. Right.
Probably like 1920s.
Right. Yeah.
When touchdowns were worth 5 points.
Yeah.
Huh. Let's talk a little bit about what you guys expect moving forward. Billy Gonzalez gets named as the interim head coach. First off, before a surprise to anybody, did anybody think anybody different? Are you guys excited? Don't care.
I like that it's Billy. Yep. I think he deserves it. Like anybody else on the staff, I don't think is really like, you know, have the cloth to be an interim head coach. But I think Billy's been here for a few regimes. What the team's kind of missing and lacking, I think, is, you know, receivers going to vertical. So maybe he brings in some, you know, something of that fashion. But no, I think Billy just deserves it no more than anybody else on the staff.
I was about to say, now we get to cheer for Billy again on Saturday, except we just get to say SEC Billy and the boys instead of Sunbelt Billy and the boys.
Yeah, I brought it up Saturday night after the game when we thought the writing was on the wall that, you know, it was going to be Napier's last game no matter what. And look, if Jaluk didn't get suspended against LSU, I still think it's likely him.
Yeah.
When that happened, you kind of had to pivot. And then I was like, well, hey, since you got to pivot, my choice was Billy Jean. I was glad to see it play out that way. I think he's earned it by, you know, Meyer, Mullen, now with Napier. And I just think, there's a lot of respect for the years he's put in for the Gator logo.
Two I was coaches. A Ron guy.
You're a LeBron guy?
A Ron. Oh. Ron Roberts.
I just like the fact we're going to spread it out.
We would love to hear her Ron on the crazy. Mic. But Billy got me fired up. Like I got nothing below. I'm excited for Gonzalez. To be excited, we went out and he becomes the next head coach. But I think that's the next question. I'll let you go, Dan.
Dave said we're about to spread it out. So let Dave take it from here.
Yeah, I just like the fact that, like, you see all those bunch sets this year, and you're thinking to yourself, you're like, okay, well, I'm glad that we're not going to have to see any more 3rd and 12 run up the middles either. So hopefully, like, you know, they have a good game plan and all that. And of course, you heard about Billy G calling Urban Meyer. You don't know any kind of advice they got from there. And I even told somebody, I was like, I don't even care who's interim right now because we wanted Billy out. I mean, you can literally sit in the crapper at Spurrier's upstairs advisors and call some plays off the wall up there or anything. But like, you know, I do like the fact that, you know, the offense is going to change. Right. And then Georgia's got a game plan for your offense as well. They're not going to really know what to expect just because there's an interim and maybe you throw them off guard. Their defense hasn't been that great this year. Their offensive line struggled a little bit, too. So, I mean, it'll give you a chance in Jacksonville. And who knows? That would be the funniest thing ever to be able to tell Georgia fans, like, we beat you with an interim coach, right? So I think that's going to make that game interesting at least. Now, the injuries have stacked up, so we don't know what the injury report's going to look like. We kind of have an idea based on what happened against Mississippi State. But I do like the fact that there's going to be some wrinkles thrown in the offense. I don't think it's going to change heavily as much, but I do like the fact that we're going to spread out the wide receivers and, of course, run the ball, because if we can get ball going and these receivers can get going, I really think that Florida's offense can look a little bit better than what it did under Billy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. So with that news, Russ Callaway, who's officially the offensive coordinator, is going to stay coordinating the offense in whatever capacity that means. Ryan O'Hare is going to call plays. Steve Spurrier Jr. is going to be working with DJ Lagway, and that means a lot to Gator fans that are over the age of 75. Many of them have advocated for Steve Spurrier Jr. to become the new head coach. What do you expect to be different? You expect more plays downfield. You expect letting DJ Lagway air it out more. Because I know the first bubble screen that hits on the first scripted drive is going to throw Gator fans into a tizzy.
It's going to hit like crack.
But you really have a week and a half?
Yeah, I think it looks closer to what the spring game looked like. Yeah. I thought it was some creative play calling in the spring game, and it was O'Hara and Russ Callaway calling it. I'm not saying that they're, you know, light years better than him, but it looked different in the spring game. It looked explosive, and I thought, you know, maybe this is what the offense is going to look like in the fall. We get that the first scripted drive. After that, it turns into, you know, vanilla bean coffee. But, yeah, I think it looks different. I think it looks more spread. I think we see less 12 personnels, et cetera. I think we get to, you know, some 11 personnel, 4 or 5 wide, and we get a little – put the Ferraris on the field and see if we can scratch it a little bit more, in my opinion.
Is there any concern, Shelton? I want you to incorporate this into your answer. Is there any concern that Ryan O'Hara hasn't called plays since, I think, Alabama A&M?
So I think there's going to be a combination with O'Hare and Russ. And I don't think it's going to be this massive change. I really think what's going to be the difference, what we complain about Billy, is just the in-game management. I don't think we'll see probably a little more aggressiveness for sure. And again, speaking to the scripted stuff, it probably won't knock our socks off. It's going to be the in-game adjustments, which O'Hare did a great job, in my opinion, for the Orange and Blue game. We actually had Harrison Bailey on our show after that game, or after the Orange and Blue game, and we talked, hey, what clicked? Because they were struggling the first half, if everybody remembers. And that Russ Callaway offense, the blue offense, was just like what Napier runs, right? A lot of pistol. It was the Aiden Warner offense. They took some shots. Nothing crazy. It just worked. It was fluent. And the other offense was trying to do more, I would say, electric things, maybe even try to fall in line. O'Hare was trying to fall in line with what Billy wanted. It was like, F this, scrap it. And him and Harrison went to the sideline, and Harrison said, yeah, we just kind of basically went to the backyard, drew up what me and Dallas felt more comfortable with, and just went with that. And then you saw them just move the football down the football field. And I think that's what I'm excited to see is later on down the line, what's going to happen. And again, I think we will see things spread out a little bit more, probably see some tight ends off the field, I would expect, when we do see them go 4 and 5 wide. And not just when they go 5 wide to, you know, have a 2 tight ends and do a wide receiver bubble screen, actually sling it down the field. I think they'll trust DJ a little bit more. I don't know if you guys saw that Brooks Austin clip where he spoke about, he had great sources saying that, you know, he wasn't really doing much to prepare for the game. He would just get his Waffle House sheet before the game and call those plays. And that's exactly how it felt. It was just like, I have my script and I'm going to call it and hope it works. And that was my biggest complaint, is like, he's not watching the other half of the game. It's like, this works against 80% of the plays. It doesn't really matter what's happening out there. That's true, Billy, but let's adjust it some. We didn't see any of that.
Dave Waters, any concern about Ryan O'Hara?
Yeah, there's concern. We don't know enough, but certainly, hopefully, the conversation up there is good with him and Callaway. Maybe if I'm looking for something that will change and something I think a lot of us have begged for offense is, man, can we just up the pace a little bit? It's such a slow offense, and is bringing in another play caller, and look at, kind of going to Shelton's point, this isn't going to be a whole new brand new offense, but you can live in certain tendencies of the playbook, the more passing portion of the playbook, the less 12 personnel of the playbook. But I'm looking at the pacing of it all, and maybe that's got something to do with comfortability at quarterback and the health at quarterback. But if there's one thing in the difference, and I'm going to look for that, might also help throw Georgia off and these teams that Florida play coming up, throw them off a little bit, is Florida just running a faster pace offense.
Perfect. Any other thoughts on Billy Gonzalez and kind of the team moving forward? from you, Corey, or Dave?
You're muted, Corey.
You're muted, Corey.
It's just his first time doing a podcast. Unbelievable.
Yeah, man. You know, can't be perfect, man. I tried to be.
I think you got me last time. So when I saw the opportunity arise, I had to try.
Yeah, yeah. A little amateur. I'm trying to keep my dog from making the show this week, bro. But
okay.
I think it's auditioning time for both of those guys. Like, you know, I think both of them wanted to be play callers. I think they wanted the sheets from Billy. Mm. But it's an audition, you know. Keeping it plain Jane, you got nothing to lose. That's what we go into all of these games with. Like, we got nothing to lose. So if I'm Billy G, if I'm Ryan O'Hara, Russ Callaway, I'm going into the game playing, like, you know, balls to the wall. You know, I know it's a family show, but I'm going for the win. You know, there's no reason to play it conservative.
This question, Dan, there's been a couple of super chats. I've been pulling them up, but this one's, they've all been great, but this one's a good question. Maybe we could.
High top Dave.
Dave, answer it. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think just in addition to everything else, just really simple. I think spread the ball out, like I just talked about. I think that'll also open it up for the run game as well. That'll throw the defenses off a little bit. So it'll give Jaden Ball a little bit more room, a little bit more leeway to run the football. So I'm excited just from a running back standpoint and seeing what some of these guys can do there as well.
Sorry, I should have better clarified. It was to you about whether if Lagway struggles, do you see a QB change?
Dave is a replay. Oh. You gotta.
Yeah, no.
I didn't even see it on the screen.
Yeah, it's there. Okay. It's in green, okay. Right below your name.
Yeah. Oh, there it is.
Okay.
If Lagway struggles, do we see a quarterback change?
Yeah.
I don't know. That way, I guess.
Well, you have to answer in your opinion.
I mean, I would
obviously
assume.
It's not up to you.
I would assume because, you're paying Lagway all this money, right? I guess you're going to keep him in the game as long as you can. But, of course, if he does struggle, I mean, what's it going to hurt if you put in another quarterback, right? Whether it's Harrison Bailey or whether it's Tramell Jones, anybody. Of course, it's going to be Tramell Jones, I would assume. But I think that could also ignite the offense a little bit, too, if Lagway struggles. Or maybe you just switch him in and out, like kind of like I'm not going to say a Tim Tebow or that kind of offense or anything like that. But, if you could. If he does struggle, I think that, you know, a quarterback change isn't going to hurt.
Personally, I don't feel like he struggled like he did those first few weeks. When we were kind of asking for it then, I think it was more relevant. I think he's looked much better. And I don't feel like he's played where this should be a question going into Georgia. I think his pocket presence looked better. He's throwing the ball better with more zip. And look, he still has mistakes. So let's not get it twisted. But he's protected the ball a whole lot better. Hasn't made as many errant throws. I don't think we're at this point yet. Now, if he for some reason falls back and looks like this, we have seen him come off bye weeks look fantastic. So I don't think he'll look like that versus Georgia. I think this has been put to bed. I think the actual question should be is if with the five games left to go, if he finds himself back in that routine or that early, you know, way that he looked, is Gonzalez as committed to DJ as Billy was? Right? Or when he sees Spurrier this thing, he was like, look, we're just going to try something new. Because that's what it felt like. It felt like Billy was like the quarterback room didn't exist. It was like, unless DJ can't roll out into a wheelchair out there and they say he can't play, he's playing. It's kind of how it was intended or implied.
Well, I want to go to Corey's point on that. This is an audition for those guys.
Yeah, that's my point.
They don't have to be married to Lagway if Lagway's not looking good and ruining their audition.
Agreed.
Yeah.
As long as Alfonso Allen's out there, we are in good hands.
Yeah.
We are in good hands.
Line him up a quarterback.
No, we need Spirito out there at all times.
I think we'll do out there too. No, we can't go that far. Let's everybody relax.
Always got to kill the vibe, Ruby, man. I'm telling you, Ruby, if we would have printed those Billy Believe shirts, we might have been somewhere different.
No, I saved you money. I saved you money, bro.
We would have been. Listen, this is why we're here. We could all be wearing it right now, celebrating an undefeated season up until this
point. No, we got to send them to Africa, man. Like, you got to send those to like underprivileged kids.
He hasn't seen the Lane shirts, has he, Dan? Yours will be in the mail. Yours is coming next week, Dan. Don't worry.
Hold on. Was it Billy's fault that special teams was bad? We'll find out.
Yes, everything was Billy's fault. I think with the quarterback situation, it's just the predictability. We're just very predictable. So, you know, getting out of some of our tendencies, you know, throwing curls at the sticks. I'm a DB, bro. I'm waiting on it. I'm jumping that. So it's just getting out of some of our tendencies, I think, is going to help DJ. He's thrown some good balls, but he just makes some mistakes. And you're like, why did he throw that? And you look at every other route, it's like all the routes were at the stick, some curls. So I just think getting out of the tendencies will help him. And I'd be interested to see what Tremell looks like. But Georgia and some of those other teams, I don't know if, you know, that'd be ideal matchup to throw him into those games. But if he struggles, then, yeah, there's no loyalty there. Like, these guys are gone in a few months. So.
You think a lot of the on-the-field issues are fixable in the next 6 weeks? Fundamental flaws that they have? Waters.
That's the biggest fundamental flaw is gone. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the biggest change I think we're going to see. And I could be wrong. I really think there was a hitch the entire time, like almost a delay because of him wanting to call plays. I really think it's going to bust it wide open.
Was it a 9-yard hitch on a 3rd and 12?
We need some out routes. Popped up, open up the zone a little bit, but I don't know.
I mean, at this point, it's just about consistency for me. You know, we've seen good Lagway, we've seen bad Lagway, we've seen good offensive line, we've seen bad offensive line. That's just, you know, where it's at for me right now. I question the consistency of the offensive line coming into the season, and that's just kind of how it's played out this year. But I do hope, you know, once there's a flow and you call plays to the tendencies of where the offense is that day, be able to adjust, be able to adapt, and that's the biggest changes I'm looking out for. You know, it's just there are still going to be questions. I don't think it's going to be perfect. I don't know if this is a I know everybody wants to compare it to the UCLA situation, and you know, a change being made, and that offense just starts firing off, and Nico actually looks like a quarterback now, and I hope that's what we see here too. But there's a tough schedule coming up still. You know, there's a defense on the other side of the ball, and there's going to be some good defenses coming up. So I'm hopeful, but I am tapping the brakes a little bit. I do think you have an advantage going against Georgia, that there will be no tape on what you want to do. And maybe that's a one-game scenario, and you go get a win against Georgia, and maybe, you know, the tendencies catch up to you. Maybe other teams start figuring out what Gonzalez and O'Hara want to do. But at this point, it's go get a win over Georgia and Jacksonville, and let's take it from there.
Any word on the overall health of the team? Yeah. I think we'll find out next week.
Yeah.
It's not ideal.
Like, I was going to say, it's going to look like a Christmas list next week. So just prepare for it.
That secondary is beat up, bro. Like, you know, we was down to like true freshman. Shout out to Javari Flowers. Like, what a guy. what a dude. Hell. Yeah, I did not expect him to play that well. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not expect that out of him. Laganza, you know. Alfonso's a full gangster. Like, he's running the alley with no ski mask. He don't even care about going to jail.
Heisman type shit.
Yeah,
he had 9 tackles, guys. I'm not just blowing smoke.
That's not good for a safety. He was
making them by the line of scrimmage.
We were at the game. Yeah. We were like, "Who's this?"
He was playing linebacker. He was just like, "I'm going to play wherever the ball is."
There you go, Shell. I was about to say,
what a guy
defending the run. Man, I couldn't ask for any more from a safety. We'll see what happens in the passing game, but
yeah, I think in a way too, like just having the coach having. Head coach out, I think there's just going to be a new energy on the team right now that the coach is out. And I think that they're going to be starting to play up to, I guess, more of their potential. Like you said, you've seen it at UCLA. Maybe it happens at Florida. Maybe we get the good luck there as well. So hopefully.
3,000 people, Dan.
3,000 people.
3,000
people. That means 3,000 people need to hit like, subscribe, share, and go visit Fango Tickets while we're here.
Follow us on X, too.
They want to see top buddy's news. Y'all guys, anybody's gonna top buddy's news?
We'll get there here. Okay,
we're saving.
We got the host. He's the plug right now.
This I'm one? The plug. No, the one before 904 Wheeling. That picture's nuts. That picture is absolutely bonkers. That's nuts.
Is that a man?
I appreciate the $2.
Please do it again. You're gonna at least read it, Dan.
I love this mega round table. Please do it again.
Mega
That's a hell of a
table.
Photo.
Mega sounds way better than
what is that photo? I'm confused. That photo was crazy.
That's what we should have named it. We should have named it the mega round table.
The shirt's been made, Justin.
I am not sharing the TV station, by the way.
Oh, man, that was nuts. This is a family show.
There's FCC regulations on that stuff.
Yeah. That's nuts. Nuts. All right, guys, let's get into the new coach. Word came out the kind of the Monday. What? What happened?
I clicked the wrong check. Continue.
Wow. Wow, Shelton.
That's what I get for going to my list of questions here.
You missed it.
Well prepared.
The last frame of some X-rated words.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Very good. So the news broke kind of last Monday. Last Tuesday that Billy Napier would be let go. We talked about it on the show. It was no surprise to anybody. About 1:45-ish, he gets officially let go. They have a team meeting announced Billy Gonzalez. Since then... That's five. Oh my God.
Cut the tape.
I told Dan Saturday, do not shave it off. Keep
I'm
it.
I'm afraid to put a cut in my mouth now because the next conversation
oh my God, on the computer, I'm wrong, sure. Man. Bro, who needs enemies with friends like this, man?
This is what keeps it healthy.
My God.
I didn't click it, man.
Dark at 9 o'clock at night.
You're the only one that could click.
No, Nick's in the background.
Nick's not here.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Nick's not here.
I might have tried to point the finger.
That dude just called your hair pubes, man.
He said because you guys are boys.
He did a super chat so man. I can go to Turkey. That's all we need to do.
Just transplant some of Shelton's eyebrow hair on there, and you'll be good.
This is crazy.
My bad, Dan. My fault. It won't happen again.
It will happen again. And that's what makes this show fun, especially when I don't even know what you're talking about.
Last one.
This is what it should have been like in Gainesville, but we were all holding mics.
We thought we had a serious program, so we became serious.
We knew it wasn't serious when certain players weren't allowed to come.
Oh, man. That was crazy.
I think it's fine.
Huh. We don't have to go anywhere. We aren't there sweating for no reason. We could have just had a live chat just firing everything up. You know what I mean? This is what people wanted anyways.
So, Billy Napier got fired in where we were in this long story. So Billy Napier gets fired. The announcement's made. And then all of a sudden, the news starts to tumble out. I heard from my source that Lane Kiffin was the person that Florida was going to target. There was a reach out to Marcus Freeman. That is true. Marcus Freeman is happy at Notre Dame. They continue to make concessions for him. And I do believe that if that Ohio State job ever opens up, he will be the prime candidate for that job. And I think if Ryan Day wins a national championship, I would not be surprised if he starts looking at some NFL options. Just what I heard. So Florida is down.
Or when Jeremiah Smith leaves.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Or maybe before. It depends on what your options are. Maybe. Miami Dolphins will be open. Not that anybody should leave any job that they have anywhere. If you work at Walmart, shouldn't that be the head coach of the Dolphins? So anyway, Florida's down to really a list of four, but you know, there's a lot of names and the names that are being thrown out there. Buddy Martin today said that Florida has offered a $13.5 million contract to Lane Kiffin. That is categorically incorrect. There's been no contract that has been offered. But let's talk about coaches, kind of who you guys want. Shelton, you're printing the shirts. I know who you want. So we'll start with you. What are some names atop of your hot board?
Yeah, all aboard, of course, Lane. I just want it for the culture, for the aura, and for just hopefully we can get 90,000 strong blown into choo-choo trains, most importantly. But look, I also know the realistic of it. Like, there has to be other options. You don't want to be all in and get screwed over. The names that are really kind of surged in my hot board, and it feels like it's a good solid three right now. And people don't like it, but I don't mind Eli. I feel like he possesses some of the same qualities of coaches that we would like and things that we don't like. I know you guys are going to thrash it, so you can have fun with it. And then we have him here today. Jeff Brohm is another one. He's joining us here. I like him a lot. He's surged into my top two for things that I like what I've seen, what he's been able to do at the places that he's been. He's won almost everywhere that he's been. I had success at Western Kentucky. had success at Purdue, not the greatest success. And then he's been doing things at Louisville, and it even gave him their highest recruiting class of all time. So small, quick glance, quick check boxes there that I enjoy. Obviously, I have other names that I've gone over. I'm a big Cliff Kingsbury guy. Again, these are down the list. Like, I'm not putting them in the top echelon, but if we're reaching deep, I don't mind going there. But that's kind of my three. I haven't heard a name that's tickled my fancy outside of that. But I think we're all in agreement that this Lane Kiffin stuff is like watching. It feels very Charles Lester, Kermaine McClain-esque, where you're just like, it's chaos, and someone's gonna have egg on their face. And it's probably going to be me, like it was last time. And I'm here for it. I'm okay with that. I'm going to enjoy every single bit of it, wearing the shirt and all. People, if you had a Gator, said, hey, if you know, you're going to give us bad luck for making that t-shirt. Hey, listen, this is a marketing campaign. Sometimes you market towards things and you lose money. So this isn't meaning he's here. This is simply trying to recruit him here. And it's right. Part of the marketing budget. So I'm okay with
Corey, that. Corey did it with Freddie Swaim, getting him to the Swamp. It wasn't printing shirts and all, but creating hashtags.
It was a different era, man.
It's got to start somewhere.
Different era. during the Dan Mullen years, I lost some of my aura with the hashtag, so I just let it die.
Okay.
Didn't really hit on the recruiting trail the same. I like your four. Lane is going to be at the top of the board. Of course, I have Freeman at one, but Freeman's out of there. 1A, 1B. I think they're you're getting a very good coach with either him or Lane. Now that Lane is, the forefront, I agree. I think Lane's perfect fit from a aura standpoint, offensive guy. I think he understands this demographic. I think a few of the coaches that we've had in the past just didn't fit and didn't understand his fan base. There's a lot of synergy with family and everything there. It just makes a lot of sense with Lane. I think that would be the home run hire. I hope Buddy's right, Y'all lay off a Buddy. Like, y'all do know if we offer Lane some money, his agent is going to go tell, Ole Miss what we offered him. Like, it's not some big top secret that Buddy can just ruin this whole thing. That's not how this works, man.
Yeah, but, I love how people are reacting on that as like, he's going to ruin the news. Like, it's not how this someone's works. Someone's going to break it. Someone's going to be the guy. So,
yeah,
he
yeah.
wants to. He's, I guess he's live right now, and I'm pretty sure he just broke it again based on the chat.
Did we lose some followers, some listeners?
We can just pull his stream up. We could watch it.
We pretend he's on the show and do some live commentary.
They have five people too. They're having their own panel. We can just panel it up here. We have 10 people live. We'll just talk back and forth with them.
That's nuts.
On the WWE Jumbotron there.
Buddy. This is crazy. This panel is nuts. There's 3,500 people in here, Dan, all to see you take that hat off.
Okay. Won't do it.
Outside of Lane, I like Braun. He's probably in my two right now. James Franklin is definitely on my list. Don't want to normally get a coach that just got fired, but I think Penn State was a little drunk with letting him go. And then I'll add I like Rhett Lashley, and I also like Dillian. I would like to see those names over a drink. Drinks just doesn't do it for me. I think it's an awkward fit. He feels like McElwain Jr. as far as like personality wise, and personalities does matter. Like being some of the stuff he says in some of these pressures is just weird. I don't think it'll come off well with our fan base, and I don't think it'll come off well in living rooms recruiting in Florida. I just don't think it's a culture fit with him. I'm hearing that he's high on the board with the boosters, but I just don't see it from a fit standpoint. I think he's a great play caller. I just think you're getting Dan Mullen with a lot less sauce. Like, I ain't think you could get less saucier than Dan Mullen, but he's
a little awkward. That's a good take on the drink train. I agree with that, of how that, again, his aura translates to Florida recruits. It's a little, again, he's recruited well, but he hasn't necessarily recruited out of the state of Florida well. And that part I do agree with.
I think what I like about him, but he's not near the top of my list, but what he's shown to be able to adapt, knew he was not the greatest play caller, knew it was taking a hit for his program. So he goes, hires Kirby Moore, and the Missouri offense gets better.
Yeah.
Blake Baker was his defensive coordinator before Blake Baker went to LSU and turned around that defense this year. So he's got a good track record of coordinator hires. But to Corey's point, it's just the vibe in Gainesville, I don't think is there or would be there. Now, if you come here and win, everybody starts overlooking that thing. You know, that was kind of the whole Brian Kelly LSU talk. You know, it doesn't really matter if you win, but as soon as what we're seeing right now, you start losing and it goes completely 180.
Family.
Is the concern over Eli just kind of personality based, guys?
I think it's a huge thing, though. Like, for me, it is. Yeah. Like, I think from a coaching standpoint, I think he checks a lot of boxes. He hires well. He recruits decently for being at Mizzou. I think he's somewhat overachieving at Mizzou. Mizzou is not traditionally a great football program. I think he's doing well considering what Mizzou is. But I just think
– with that, Corey, too, man, a schedule that he's taking
advantage of. Favorable schedule for an SEC schedule for sure. But I think he's done well. Like, when we faced him, he's been a nightmare to the University of Florida. Like, I hate playing Mizzou while he's been there. So I just think personality-wise, like, McElwain was just a weird fit from go, you know, and it was any struggling, like, that happened. It just was weird encounters with media. Our media can get under your skin. I just think he'll fold quick. I don't know if he has the personality to be able to handle. I think Lane does. Some of the other guys have that type of personality to deal with it. But some of the stuff he says and does at pressers, I just don't know if he survived. I think he'll start falling under pressure with some of the awkwardness that Dan Mullen dealt with. It started getting weird, you know? And they had like a little weird off with the costumes and whatnot.
Darth Vader stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you. Billy ran into it a little bit this past year with the basement comment. And then he would just say things that just didn't sit well. And I do agree with it. If you go watch Drinks Presser, I like it. It doesn't, you know, make me feel weird, but I can see it with like an overall fan base. He's talking about like conspiracy theories and
bro, it's wild.
Wild stuff. Wild. Yeah. Now, like I got the sense of humor, but it probably wouldn't hit like he thinks it's hitting. It worked perfectly for SC Media Day because there's like two people there. So he knew he'd get away with whatever he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. He showed up to a Florida presser. And Dave's out there asking recruiting questions and hits him with one of those things that's going to go absolutely nuts. Like, that's where I agree, because he hasn't been in the air in the limelight where something dumb just goes absolutely viral. If he was the head coach of Florida and came out and said the spiel he said at SEC Media Day, we would have had ourselves a day with it. Like, if we're being honest,
we would have got cooked, like, an entire fan base, man.
Yeah, Drinkwitz is kind of a nerd. Little bit of a nerd.
I like the nerd, but I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, great question. Great question. You wonder.
You wonder.
You wonder.
Yeah.
You
wonder. I'm right here.
You look around.
I'm right here. I've been here the whole time.
I'm right.
Matter of fact, I've been tweeting while we're doing this. Why do you think I haven't talked in a little bit?
Oh, brother.
Mullen to Ole Miss, book it. I'm not going to book that one.
You want to go back to our guy 904?
Question. Todd Monken to UF.
Todd Monken
was plus 3,500, I believe.
Yeah, that was my co-host Will Miles. You know, that was his off the wall, let's go a different route type of hire he brought up on our episode Sunday. So he's all in on the NFL GM, surround him with a great GM, great staff, and that model of it.
What about Will Stein doing the same thing?
He's my top coordinator. We don't go that route.
If it came to that, though,
yes.
Do you have any concern about Will Stein? I've got a question for you, Dave, and this is going to be a broader question. Do you have concern that Will Stein is 36 years old? He's in his third year of calling plays for Oregon, obviously very successfully. Do you feel like that's enough experience? And then that broader question for everybody is, how do you think the Florida fan base would react if they hired a stud offensive coordinator, a stud defense coordinator, compared to the big names that they've been hearing? Dave, we'll start with you and then go around.
Oh, sorry,
Dave Waters. Okay. Sorry, not you, Blue Warren.
Well, I think you'd be disappointed if you missed out on the big names, no matter who you follow that up with. And we all know, I mean, Lane's number one on a lot of our boards. So you get past that. I mean, you get past him And even a sitting after that, it's going to be disappointing for most of the fan base out there. So I do think you go down the board and it's a coordinator, even one of the hottest coordinators out there, there's going to be some disappointment just because you didn't get Lane. Then when you zoom out a little bit, that's the danger I see in it, Dan, is there's not a whole lot out there. And Will Stein, he's at Oregon. He's putting up points. They've kind of picked up, you know, Dillingham was the OC before, right? He took over when Dillingham left.
When who did? Glenn Schumann?
No, Dillingham left Oregon to be Arizona State head coach, right?
No, he left FSU.
Dillingham did?
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't know he was at FSU. I mean, I know he was at FSU. I just didn't know that's where he left to go to Arizona State.
Let me double check. Maybe. Oh, he did. I'm sorry. He left FSU to go to Oregon for a year. My apologies.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. He did go to Oregon.
My apologies.
Yeah. Damn, so, you know,
he's got Dave Waters.
So he picked up. He picked up right there. And so it's been really good. And they've done it with different quarterbacks. And I like that aspect about it. But the youth of it all, not a lot of experience. I mean, that seems to be a fad. You go for the hot young coordinator and it seems to work. It worked out for Dillingham in Arizona State. He's a young guy and he's been learning on the job and doing a great job there. Here at Florida, man, it's different. And that's asking a lot of a coordinator to come in and learn on the job at Florida. So don't get me wrong. I don't want to go the coordinator route. If we had to, he's my top guy. But yeah. I don't want to go that route because the pressure cooker of a job, and especially a young guy like that. As far as the pure football aspect of it, no question, he's my top guy. But there are other factors in play.
Sure.
We got some super chats if you want to rip through them real quick. There are a couple questions, I think, Dan.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Eli Hugh equals 1-2 Gator Nation hitting the portal.
I believe it. Me a half of Gator Nation.
As the fan base?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about this one? Penn State made a mistake. Franklin could be dangerous and hired immediately. Thoughts?
I think he will get hired immediately, and I do think that they made a mistake. I don't know who they're going to hire that is markedly better to pay. I know it's not a total $48 million buyout, but right now, today, it is. I don't know who's markedly better. I know Eli Drinkwitz is somebody that they're looking at for that role, but I don't really know who else. And if you fired James Franklin to hire Eli Drinkwitz, as a Penn State fan, I've probably got questions. I know that there's probably frustrations, and at some point, maybe there's other factors beyond just what's going on in the field. But that, to me, just doesn't seem like a worthwhile upgrade on paper.
Tim Bucks, what most Gators in this panel don't understand, you were 10 or less when Spurrier was the head ball coach. Drink rocks the visor, the best Lane will work.
Well, you were 10 or less when Spurrier was the head ball coach. 10 or less.
I was 12.
What? Age.
When they won the natty.
Yeah, I was.
How was that?
I was 12 when they won the natty. I know I look like I'm like 2. Wow. But.
Yeah, I was 8. Yeah.
I think I was around the same age. No. How old are you, Dave?
When 41.
Dave is old, man.
Yeah, I'm 40. I'm 42.
Okay. 41, 42.
I mean,
let's wrap this up, boys.
I wasn't even born yet.
No. Let's get these guys some warm milk.
Yeah. They got bingo in the morning, boys. We got to wrap this crap up.
Six medications. That
5 a.m. pickleball is going to hit like crack in the morning, Dave. y'all should host a charity golf event this offseason with Coach Lane and do a meet and greet.
I'll speak
to Billy Hull about an appearance. Appreciate it. Yeah. Let's do it.
I want the smoke with Dan anyway, so.
I went to a Pinellas Gator Club event last night at a place that I forgot the name, but it was an indoor golf facility, and they did a closest to the pin event, 3 holes, and yours truly came out victorious. Shout out to me. No, you weren't there. How do you guys feel about Clark Lee? I'll say this. Clark Lee's not on any list, but what do you guys think about Clark Lee?
Man,
I got to see him with a different quarterback.
There you go. Yeah. That's where I was about to go. I think it's Paviamania. And look, I think he can be good, but that's why I got to see more. And I'm the same way with Brent Key at Georgia Tech.
Yep, that's I was just going to say that. I hope you feel the same way about Brinke.
I really do. And Buster Faulkner, the OC there, has had history in the past with good quarterbacks and good passing games, so it could be there. But, man, I do think they're playing to Haynes King's best level and getting the most out of him. But since it's a short window, I can't take a chance on that. I really like Brinke.
That's why, man, I like Drink. He's done it with multiple guys, different situations. He's found multiple ways to win.
What about what about Ed Orgeron? Go Gators.
Good D-line pick.
It would be a great assistant. Brian Johnson.
No.
No. Like, what are we doing here?
I was
Dave, can DJ manage a quicker offense who's already late on his throws?
I think Paul, I brought that up earlier. Yeah. It is a good question. Can he? I think he'd get into a flow. I mean, yeah, you're right. He is slim some weight on some decisions. I think it's you do the part of the offense he's more comfortable in. I do think one reason he's late on throws is because some of the offense he's not comfortable in. Mm-hmm. But the other aspect of the offense, the passing, the more open, the three receivers, four receivers, you're going to have to live in that world if you want him to, I think, succeed in that up-tempo. Great question, though, for sure, because, I mean, I do question it myself. So is it there? If it is there, I think this Gator offense does have a step in.
Okay. I do want to ask a specific question for maybe not so obvious reasons. What are your guys' thoughts on Brent Key?
I just think not experienced enough for what we need right now. I would say I put him in the same boat as Rhett Lashley, Dillingham. It's just I think good coaches that still got some learning to do before they get a job like UF. And I don't know who his OC would be if he was to come over, because I think the OC would probably be retained by Georgia Tech. Then we're back to square one. What is our offense going to look like? We would have decent to good to great offensive line play because he's very good. And I think it would be a disciplined team, et cetera. But there's just a lot to be, you know, experience that's needed for this job. We've seen the inexperience, and it's just not fitting the bill this time around.
It would be just a better version of Napier. It's still slim margins. Winning games. Sorry.
I was going to say that.
Winning games late in the fourth quarter. And is that sustainable?
Him and Clark, in my opinion, they were all in the same boat headed into their fourth year. And they just happen to have things fall their way this year, right? Where it's all working out, the quarterback's working out, they got their guy, but they haven't won soundly. They haven't won convincingly, have just looked like a true powerhouse. And again, Brent Key with Haynes King, like it's like Norvell and Jordan Travis. That's kind of what I'm looking at right now. It's like clearly Norvell was just Jordan Travis train.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's got a physical identity, he's an overachiever, but like, I just need to see more from Brent Key. Like,
what more do you need to see from a Georgia Tech coach? I'm not trying to, you know, sway anybody's thoughts, but what more do you want to see?
Well, right now he's playing with a transfer quarterback, Haynes King, whatever. I would like to see what happens when Haynes King leaves, when he gets in a quarterback and that kind of stuff. Like, he still is still trying to, I guess, find his identity over there at Georgia Tech. I mean, he's found one, but like, I mean, he's had these close games with Georgia. He had a good overtime game last year. I think Georgia Tech should have won that game. I think they got screwed on that fourth down. But
yeah.
Other than that, like, I just need to see more. If I can see more from Brent Key, say 2-3 years down the road, then I'd be like, okay, but we're not going to hopefully not be looking for a coach then. So
yeah, no, I gotcha. Shelton, any thoughts on Dave or on Brent Key?
Yeah, I've already said it. Thanks for listening, Dan.
Well, I mean, I didn't know if you wanted to expound on it. You and Dave were kind of going back and forth talking over one.
Yeah, he ripped me off. I think, again, the Haynes King is a big one for me. You kind of asked, like, what would he need to show? Look, I think it's spot on with the Billy situation, where it's just, is it all on Haynes King? Is he going to continue to do it? We would still be in a kind of a grow or learn the job type of coach with Brent Key in my feelings. And look, it could hit. He could be great, but I don't think Florida's in a place to take the risk right now on someone like Brent Key, especially when if the three names we mentioned are Brom, Eli, and Lane, those three, in my opinion, are light years ahead of Brent. Like, if we're getting to the Brent Keys, like, Brent Key is in a much lesser tier, I would put Fran Brown and Brent Key in a very similar thing, and I'd rather take a chance on Fran Brown if we're at that point.
What makes you say that?
Well, Fran Brown's done it with two separate quarterbacks. He's done his offense has been successful. He had Kyle McCord looking like a Heisman candidate his first first couple of games. They kind of fell off, lost a little smoke, won some big games last year. He had, I can't remember the kid's name, but he was a Notre Dame transfer quarterback looking great before he went down this year. I mean, the guy would absolutely tear up the recruiting trail. Who is the number one recruiter while at Georgia, comes from that tree, very similar, like a Will Stein. He's in that Dan Lanning-esque where they were great coordinators, went on to be successful. He's got Calvin Russell, a five-star wide receiver up there in Syracuse. He would be a Florida Gator if he were to come here. And I think he's just respected across the landscape and brings a pizzazz and energy. He talks the smack, walks the walk. It's just not enough data there for us to go all in on. Again, my point is if we're down into that tier, into that echelon, I would choose Fran at this particular moment over Brent Key because you're doing risk versus reward. And I like the risk on Fran off of the small sample size that I've seen versus Brent.
If Fran Brown has been, this is his second year, I believe.
Yeah.
His second year. I guess we'll have to kind of see how this goes. He's 13-7 as a head coach.
He had a winning record last. I don't remember.
He's 16-9. Is that an okay record? I mean, I know we're talking hypotheticals because we're going to move our way up to kind of the top of the list here. But if Brent Key hasn't showed enough in 4 years at Georgia Tech, what in 2 years has Fran Brown showed you at Syracuse that has you more on board? Is it just the upside potential?
Well, again, right. I think that the games that he's won, I mean, taking down Miami last year, the way that he did, the way that he had Kyle McCord looking in his senior, someone who was basically done right after leaving Ohio State was going to get kind of written off. Then he comes in and makes Kyle McCord become an NFL draft pick. And then even this year, again, they were definitely somebody to keep an eye on the ACC, come off kind of sluggish against a healthy, good Tennessee team, but still fought back and then had some great wins until the quarterback goes down. So they're doing a lot with, I would say, even littler than Georgia Tech at this point. And then on top of that, his history of recruiting is exceptional. I think that he would hit the ground running. I don't know that Brent Key, in my opinion, also fits the vibe of Napier of where he's not going to spend the money. Right. It's like if either you play for me or you don't want to play for me, I'll develop you. And we would have a bunch of 3-star offensive linemen again. And I don't know how Florida would sit with that. I think that I'm assuming here. So I like the aura. Again, we want to talk about fits. We want to talk about, hey, you know, press conferences, things like that. I think that Fran Brown would also be a good culture fit too right now.
The Decula boy asked us to stop talking about Brent Key. I would say that there's probably a reason we're asking questions about Brent Key compared to some of the other people, like Rhett Lashley and some of the other names you guys have mentioned before. This isn't just conjecture and fighting over Brent Key. I don't have a strong opinion in one way or the other on Brent Key. I just think that he's a name that Gator fans should potentially consider watching football games for to form an opinion on. Thanks for nodding your head, Dave Waters. I appreciate that. I need those nonverbal cues.
Oh,
Corey, you're muted. Back on
and
the
that,
show.
And that would be a terrible hire. Like Brent Key just doesn't fit the bill from an experience standpoint. You're still picking off, I think, a similar tree as far as like what you're looking for. Like what he's doing at Georgia Tech, while it's cool, it doesn't fit our culture and what our offense we want to look like. And I'm with Shelton. Quarterback Fran Brown has done it with a couple quarterbacks. We've seen multiple quarterbacks under that system be successful. We've seen one guy at Georgia Tech, and that's Haynes, and we all could see that there's one guy making that go. And I don't think there's enough track record there for him to get a job at the University of Florida.
It's Diego-esque, like for sure, where it's just like you just get that guy the ball, he'll make something happen. Look, I mean that's half the battle, but you know some coaches can ride off a great quarterback and great coordinator. Bill Belichick did it for years, obviously. There's a couple of super chats we probably need to get caught up. John Gruden to the Swamp confirmed. Okay. That name's crazy, right? Can we just? That's wild, right? We're all in unison on that.
John Gruden is not coming to UF.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny? Because I was talking to Rook earlier today, and he said that like there was a lot of people talking about, oh, well, Gruden's won a Super Bowl. It's like, well, Bill Belichick's won like 7, and look what he's doing.
Super sticker, Boomer Sooner this weekend, boys. Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Yes, sir.
What about Brian Hartline?
Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah.
Boy,
Brian Hartline? No, like, wait, all right, thank you. We're trying to get serious here, man. Like, yeah. Shout out to Buddy. Buddy's the only one that's serious around here. Buddy said 13.7 million is where we at with it. And you guys are bringing up Brian Hartline. You hear the type of money we talking about spending, and y'all talking about Brian Hartline? No,
not a game.
This is Plies the rapper wants to be head coach. His post had me dying on who he'd hire. I think it's all former Gators.
What about Plies, man? Y'all go. Go ahead.
I mean, he was part of the demise of Florida State and Willie Taggart. Yeah. So, you know, keep him away from here. You know?
Do you guys see the poor mechanics? The DJ Lagway has his feet and arm motion are concerning.
Don't know if that stuff you can really fix in during the season all that much. All that time off. All that time.
9 months off is a long time. Yeah. I think it equates to like 8 or 9% of his entire playing football career. So that's a lot of time off.
Yeah.
Major pro for someone like Lane Kiffin or James Franklin is that they could bring in the talent players, OCDC, GM, proven production, look for good fit, less unknowns. Certainly, I mean, we didn't really get the chance to talk about James Franklin very much with the panel. We can talk about him here in a second. Probably a pretty high floor for James Franklin. The ceiling might be limited based on what we've seen. But Soderquist, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on James Franklin?
James Franklin's done a really good job over there at Penn State. He's had a lot of double-digit win seasons. It's just when it came to playing the tougher teams, top 10, top 5, he's always found a way to lose those games. And, like, I mean, you go to kind of like his history there at Vanderbilt, right? Made Vanderbilt a pretty good program, right? He built it from the ground up. He at least improved it. It wasn't like wasn't going to go to an SEC championship. I think they went to an SEC championship one time back in like the 2010s. But like
Vanderbilt?
Yeah, Vanderbilt. Then they played Missouri. Missouri played Auburn. My bad.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, never mind. But he's got them up there. Like he built Vanderbilt. Now he's going to Penn State and he's got them double digit winning seasons. But every time he's gotten to the big game, he's just blew it. And does it take another a tour to another school? Maybe you give him more NIL, you give him more support. Can he get over the hump? I mean, that's the question you ask yourself, right? Can James Franklin get over the hump? Can he handle an SEC schedule? And you know, do you surround him with good coordinators like we talked about? I mean, maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't, but. I don't know. I would feel very neutral about that. I wouldn't know that, like, I mean, just was it a bad spot for him to go? I mean, maybe he just needs a different spot. I mean, I don't know. Like, I think he could get over that hump here, but you're just going to have that old question is like, okay, well, what happens when he plays an SEC schedule? Because that's loaded with top 10 team.
Does James Franklin bring the best resume?
I think James Franklin is just like he checks a lot of boxes, you know. I think sometimes we forget what Penn State is. Like everybody got this thing in their head with Penn State, this prestigious program. They haven't won one since 86. They won the Big Ten 4 times. 3 of them they split with Ohio State. The only outright win in the Big Ten was James Franklin. Him winning the conference. He just was in the playoffs. He's won some big bowl games, but in the Big Ten, Ohio State and Michigan are the big dogs. Penn State's more on the plane of Nebraska and Wisconsin. They just haven't been a program, you know, traditionally that just have won at a high level. And they were in the dumps when he got there. You know, they have some bad scratches and a lot of, you know, bad PR. I thought he overachieved for what he walked into. Same thing at Vanderbilt, you know, at a program at Vanderbilt to get 9 wins multiple times at that time, it was rare. So I think considering what the hands he's been dealt, I thought he's done well. I think Penn State jumped the gun. I kind of get it too. You know, they probably just need a fresh face. If they want to get a natty, they probably don't. Maybe we can try somebody else. We've seen, you know, Franklin at his best, which I don't think. I think Franklin still has a little bit more, you know, I don't know if he hit his peak, but he hires well. His coordinator, he's very aggressive. He spent a lot of money on coordinators and bringing top talent in. He can recruit. That's what you want. Like he adjusts. So if the offense isn't, he's brought in multiple coordinators, you know, while he was at Penn State to try to find that offense and to get it right. And one of the things we are frustrated with multiple head coaches is
you know, the willingness not to change and adapt, right? So I think he'll hire well. I think he'll recruit well. And that's the foundation of the job right there is hiring well, recruiting well. Mm-hmm. I think we'll have a high floor, I think, with
yeah. Him. Yeah.
So, yeah, sometimes like I'll just add sometimes like when a coach fails someplace, sometimes he gets a second chance, and then his second chance he does very well.
I don't even think he failed considering it's Penn State. Like, I think it was a successful stint.
Oh, no, it was. I don't think they should have fired him, but I'm saying as far as like him getting fired, I think like if he went somewhere else, he could get over like that top 10, top 5 of him. Yeah.
Mark Richt. He was Mark Richt.
Well, mm-hmm. This might be a weird take, but he could be this day and age Brian Kelly. And the reason I say that is Brian Kelly has had success at LSU. The difference is LSU standard is high, and I think Penn State started to view themselves in that same limelight of like we should be operating at a championship level and we're not. And you kind of just pointed to it, Corey, of like, but they haven't really been there. He brought them to that point. Mark Richt's another great one. But I was brought up Brian Kelly because everyone's like, why not James Franklin? Well, if Brian Kelly became available, who's won 9+ games, 10+ games. Now, I think James still had more success at Penn State, given the fact that he was one game away from being in the national championship, but still won multiple games, just short of always playing in the conference championship because, again, there was two big dogs, LSU, there was Bama and Georgia, two big dogs always just kind of keeping them down. Would you take Brian Kelly right now? And the answer is no, because Brian Kelly is obviously a weirdo.
Well,
but
they also didn't want him 3.5 years ago.
Brian Kelly, who also, who won a lot of games at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, in my opinion, they're very similar. Now, Brian Kelly got his second one and the same tendencies are still happening. And I think that's where it's like, you've been at the same place for 10 years and the same tendencies continue to happen year over year. And that's where Penn State's like, dude, like, yeah, you win us 10+ games, but it's at some point we've got a whole, like you said, Mark Richt, like we can't just win 10 games and be content with it. So
I guess my question there with Franklin is why didn't he ever break through on offense? Like, he went and hired the up-and-coming coordinator, Andy Kolodnicki, and everybody thought that was the missing piece at Penn State, and it didn't work. All right, well, now we think it's there, but let's go attack the transfer portal for receivers, because that's what we lacked last year. Well, they did that this year, and the offense regressed. Drew Aller regressed. So that's heavy penalized to me, kind of like Napier in a way this year, just in a bubble. Don't get me wrong. Overall, James Franklin steps, leaps, and bounds ahead of Napier. But just this year in a bubble, it was like, okay, you circle this team to be able to break through. Now, for Penn State, it was breakthrough to a national championship or beat Ohio State or whatever. Florida, it was just to break through and maybe make the SEC or make the playoff. But both teams were kind of circled to do the same thing. It's kind of just break through to that next step. And both fell on their faces when there were supposed to be those teams that were supposed to be breaking through and actually went the opposite direction. So that would be the concern for me, is why didn't it work out with what was supposed to be your supposed best team? But you take a look at the big picture, and it's going to your point, Dan. I think it is a high floor, or you just don't want to be stuck at that ceiling just like Penn State.
Mm. Soderquist.
I think I already commented on Franklin.
Oh, very good. Sorry, I can't see you because this chat's covering up your entire face.
Well, I am kind of short, you know. So,
well, yeah, I've met you in person on Saturday. I would wholeheartedly agree. Don't want to interrupt the flow, but what are y'all's thoughts on Scott Strickland reaching out to recruits per Blake Alderman on all three?
What's I prefer the him not to. Like
what's my message?
Creep him out, bro. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, is the message – I'm pretty sure the message would be have we're confidence. Yeah, have confidence in who we're going to bring.
Oh man,
there's a lot of people on Twitter. One reached out to me and said, "Hey, they've been told that Lane Kiffin's coming over." I'm like, I don't think that they're telling recruits that.
No. this is their first coaching search, man. They haven't been here on Twitter.
Well, if it makes anybody feel better, I talked to Nick Griffin, Will Griffin's dad. He said he's still 100% a Gator. So good.
Same.
Hey, it is funny though. I mean, in a good way. I mean, Napier's been fired. There's been no mass exodus. There's not really been a whole lot of talk.
Because they know Lane's coming.
I really do think there's, because of all the talk, it is, hey. And I think we have seen a couple quotes from those guys is, I'm going to wait to see who they hire. And then I'll make my decision.
Army Sniper.
I think some of that's going to change because, I mean, unless news moves a little quicker.
Yeah.
you know, early signing day is early December. And I don't know if we have somebody in place by early signing day. So that's going to be one to watch.
Yeah.
Pull up. Yeah. Army Sniper. UF needs a Franklin look around parity. The other type of parity is also real. And there's no dominating teams anymore. A high floor guy. I'll take it.
Yeah. That's actually
a sentiment that I've heard too.
It sounds wrong, but I'll settle for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think settling for James Franklin's not like a bad consolation prize if you're going to settle, right?
Let me ask you this. If you miss on Lane, who do you want, Dave? Like, who would be your guy?
I'm neutral.
You can't be. This is a panel.
Yeah, what are we doing, Dave?
What would Blue Dave
doesn't like
say?
That. Dave doesn't like to have bad takes because he doesn't want to deal with the
heat. We'll clip it up.
I'm being aggressive. I Dillingham's my number two.
Oh! I'm sitting next to my guy.
I love Kenny Dillingham. I don't know if he's going to leave Arizona State today, and he's I don't think he will. He's also in that. That Brent Key, Fran Brown, first couple of years. Yeah. You know, how would fans react? I love his personality.
Me too.
I think that he's got a fantastic personality. You know, a lot of people think that Arizona State's going to be able to find all this money and throw money at him. I think that there's a definite ceiling at Arizona State for anybody, especially even though the Big 12 is still a major-ish conference, and there's a chance that they could win. I kind of wonder what their ceiling would be in the playoff, and then talent acquisition in Arizona is challenging. There's not a ton of players. Southern California is going to obviously have a big USC draw. There's still a pretty big national draw for a lot of guys from the West Coast. I just wonder at what point will Kenny Dillingham, who is from the Phoenix area, went to Arizona State, now coaching there, what it would take for him to leave. Yeah. And is it now or is it in 10 years when he can say, I did it. I brought my alma mater back. It's time to move on.
Yeah, I should have said, I don't think he'll leave. He is my number two.
He'd be crazy not to. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. You can strike while the iron's hot in this business, right?
Yeah, I'm sitting next to my guy. You. Tell him, Jeff.
Bro.
Frank the Tank, Frankie Spanky.
On that, I talked to somebody who has been around the Louisville program the last couple of years.
Here's the bombshell. Here comes the bombshell.
I put this in the Gator Breakdown Plus Discord earlier today, though. Their Free feedback nugget. Was my ask. My question was, do you think Braun would consider Florida? No, and he wouldn't fit. He don't like to recruit. Not a people person.
I've heard he's not a nice person.
All right, take him off the board.
Frank Key.
Yeah, take him off the board. It ain't gonna work.
That was the feedback.
What?
We had a nice guy this past time.
Oh yeah, you ain't gotta be nice. I don't care.
Was he nice? I don't know if he was nice.
Oh. Corey with the
bombshell. He's not to the players.
True.
The players coach.
What are the major reasons Lane Kiffin would possibly say no?
I said it the other day. I go, look, if he doesn't come to Florida, it's because he just wants to be, he's content with being mediocre. So we still get the last laugh, and he doesn't want to get close to the sun, and that's fine.
He can't handle the smoke.
It's not a money thing. It's nothing else besides the fact that he doesn't want to get close to the sun and feel the burn. He wants to just middle of the road at Ole Miss, and perfectly fine with that. Just one more team, one more coach I get to beat every single year. That's fine.
Dan, our good friend Paul said it best. Fan. Yeah, said it best the other day on the Discord. If Lane wants to stay at Ole Miss, that's not the Lane I want anyway.
Yeah, that's my point exactly. Yeah.
I'm throwing a challenge out to Lane. You know, you want to come here, you tell us, you win a national championship here. I bet you can't do it. I bet you can't come to Florida and win a national championship. I bet you can't.
It's part of the marketing. Put it on a shirt.
But I agree with Shelton's point. It's in some ways, I also think the more he does win, say they beat Oklahoma and the wins just keep piling up, at that point, some way a realization and maybe even a challenge to himself that I can do it here.
Boomer Sooner.
Yeah, there's probably of the top 15 jobs, Lane's coached at two of them. There's a number of them that he's probably not a cultural fit or they wouldn't want him. There's probably five or six schools in that 15 that Lane possibly has a chance of going to. And I think that Florida is one of his, if not his best shot at getting that opportunity at a premier program.
Right. I think if there's any, like, I think stumbling blocks, it could be just the, administration, you know, leadership. You know, I think that'll be one of the things, you know, like the lack of direction in that capacity. But I'm with those guys, man. Like, if he is who he say he is, and the Spurrier stuff and all that, the wearing the visor, if that's something, it just makes sense. Money, I don't think is going to be an issue. Both teams will have money. It's going to be where he can win and get a national championship and seal his legacy. And Florida just makes the most sense. If it isn't Lane for me, just a high floor makes a lot of sense for me, you know, experience. So it'd just be Lane Kiffin. Not Lane Kiffin. I'm double down on Lane. Lane Kiffin Jr. Nah, give me James Franklin if it's not Lane. I just need Big Ten experience. So he's played, you know, some serious programs. He's faced another thing when he was in the Big Ten. He's facing Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh. Like, he's not going against chumps. Like, he's going against two legendary coaches, you know, each and every week. So, I mean, each and every season, trying to win that conference. So he's been against some dogs.
That's true. He's lost to three national champions, Ryan Day, Urban Meyer, and Harbaugh, and Dan Lanning. It's a hell of a lineup.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I'm with Franklin as well. Like, if it's not.
Screw Lane.
Well, I don't think that's a bad thought, gentlemen. Let's see. Let's go back to some of these.
One more. I know Shelton's got to go, and we've talked about a lot of people, but the name came up a lot today.
Let's hold him hostage.
And Dan might know more with what he's been able to be plugged into. A lot of talk, dark horse today, about Lincoln Riley.
They passed on Lincoln Riley 4 years ago. Lincoln Riley is desperate to leave. I'm going to bring up a hypothetical for you guys.
The board hypothetical here in a second. The board at USC.
What was the same hypothetical out throughout earlier today?
Yeah, yeah. Lane Kiffin wants to leave USC and go just about anywhere. Obviously, there's caveats to all of that.
Lincoln Riley.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Why does he want to leave?
Lane Kiffin.
You mean? Lane Kiffin. Lincoln Riley. He
doesn't like LA. Right
fit. Just there's just a lot that he doesn't like. West Coast. All of that. There's just a lot of talk that he's very actively looking to leave. Let me ask you this, Shelton, before you jump in.
Okay.
If Lincoln Riley leaves, is there a potential thought that USC goes after notable West Coaster Kalen DeBoer? And Kalen DeBoer, guy that loves the West Coast, maybe doesn't love Alabama as much, potentially thinks about going to USC, which could potentially open that Alabama job.
That would be wild.
Silly season.
Which would be in competition for one
Lane Kiffin.
Kane Liffin.
And then we get Lincoln Riley. Look, 3 years ago, if you said, hey, we're getting Lincoln Riley, I would have kissed you. He's disappointed me with how he's performed at USC, and I've been very frustrated. The guy is dead to me. And that's why I keep bringing up Cliff Kingsbury, because they fit the same mold to me. And I think that Cliff is kind of on this resurgence path as well. And I think under Dan Campbell at Washington, I don't know if he wants to do the job, but Lincoln's got a couple Heisman's under his belt. I know he can sling it around offensively. He held on to Grinch too long, very similar to Mullen. But I mean, we're seeing these second chances for these guys do well for them. I didn't know Lincoln was having a hard time in USC. That could explain a lot more. I mean, that place sucks, so I get it. But 3 years ago, I was arguing he was top five head coach, in my opinion, and he just completely kicked me in the nards on that one. So, I would come around to it, but he's not flat. He's flashy-ish, I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of going to Corey's point. The argument that I've had on the podcast and in comments and stuff, if it's Lane Kiffin or if it's James Franklin or if it's somebody, well, what have they done? What have they won?
That's everybody.
Exactly.
Nobody's won anything.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not getting Kirby Smart. You don't want Dabo Sweeney. You're not getting Ryan Day. So everybody's going to have the warts. Everybody's going to be in that same, what have they won? So, you know, I think you weigh it and take the best from there.
Gentlemen, it has been a hell of a show today. We want to thank everybody, all of the super chats, all of the commenters. This was a fantastic Gator Pin, and we want to do this more often. We appreciate you guys for tuning in so late. On behalf of Shelton, Dave, Corey, and the other Dave, Blue Orange Gator Soderquist, we do want to give one final shout out to our friends over at FanGo Tickets for backing tonight's show. Again, a Tampa-based company built all around the Florida Gators and Tampa Bay sports. So the next time you are going to be heading to the Swamp or the O'Connell Center, grab your tickets on fangotickets.com and keep it in the Gator family. We appreciate you guys so much, and we will see you.
4,500 strong. Sorry, but just record-breaking.
Hit the like button. Hit the like, hit the subscribe, do all of it. We appreciate everybody for hanging out today. It's a hell of a show. We will see you guys soon.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, oh.